tonight. The book of Jeremiah and also the book of Galatians. And while you're finding that, remind you of the volunteer banquet or dinner. I call it banquet. Thursday night at 6:30. If you're on any of our, any volunteer, if you an usher, greeter, several of you are on the connections team and you send out cards for us. That would include you as well, our praise team and spouses. Anyone that's involved in any ministry, we would like for you to be here Thursday night. David Johnson's mom and dad are going to cater this meal, and I've had several of their meals, and they are just phenomenal cooks. And so this is going to be a great night to celebrate what the Lord is doing. You know, we need pastors. We need preachers. But I'll tell you what, we pastors and preachers can't do a lot. We can't do really anything without you people. Amen. And it's the people of the Lord and working together and seeing the church move forward and God doing mighty things. There's more for Westmoreland. Say that with me. There's more for Westmoreland. And so in continuing with our theme on the Christian soldier, I want to speak to you tonight on God's plans for wounded warriors. God's plan for wounded warriors. The first scripture I'd like for us to read is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 37 and verse 8. If you're there, say amen. The Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. And thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they will not depart. For though you had smitten, look at verse 10, for though you had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up, every man in his tent, and burn this city with fire. I'm going to repeat that because we're going to go back to that. For though you had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, those warriors, smitten warriors, and they were but wounded, yet they will rise up and burn this city with fire. And turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17. And Brother David, I think I'm going to change horses on you, brother. I'm going to go to the green dot here. Is that okay? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17. If you're there, say amen. We got it, brother? Amen. It says, from henceforth let no man trouble me. Read those last words with me. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. God's plan for wounded warriors. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the anointing. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the way you orchestrate services and put it all together. We thank you for our pastor and the service and the message this morning. We pray for safe travels. And God will give you praise, Lord, to make this message what it needs to be. For this hour, as I decrease, Lord, as you increase, may your word have free course tonight, and we'll give you the praise. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody you are blessed and highly favored of God. Amen. Amen. I'd like to show the Wounded Warrior Project, if we've got that clip there. This is actually an organization called the Wounded Warrior Project. It's a charity and veterans service organization that offers a variety of programs, services, and events for wounded veterans of the military. The Wounded Warrior Project was founded in 2003 in Roanoke, Virginia, by a man by the name of John Malia. Malia himself had been severely wounded in a helicopter crash while serving in Somalia in 1992. I went to their website today and I saw their vision statement. They said on their website who we are. And this is what they said. They said, every warrior has a next mission. Now, I thought that was very profound. And I want you to tell somebody that tonight because I want to get into your spirit. Every warrior has a next mission. Turn around and tell somebody. Every warrior has a next mission. And then they continue, we know that the transition to civilian life is a journey. And for every warrior, family member, and caregiver, that journey looks different. We are here for their first step. each step that follows. Because we believe, and talking about wounded warriors, we believe that every warrior should have a positive future to look forward to. There's always another goal to achieve. This is not from the Bible. This is from the website of an organization. But I'll tell you what, somebody knows their Bible. Because it says in their on their website, there's always another goal to achieve and another mission to discover. We are their partner in that mission. And then in that website, it gave these statistics, and I want to give them to you. 480,000 servicemen and women physically injured have been physically injured in recent conflict. 480,000 have been wounded in conflict. 400,000 living with invisible wounds from depression, post-traumatic stress disorder. 320,000 experiencing debilitating brain trauma. Advancements in technology and medicine save lives, but the quality of those lives might be altered forever. The numbers speak for themselves because not every warrior can. With the support of our community of donors and team members, we give a voice to those needs and empower our warriors to begin the journey to recovery. Isn't that an awesome program? Have you got a loved one that's fought in the military and got wounded? Anybody here tonight? Just say you've got some loved ones. I see some that went on a mission. And as a result of that mission, they came back forever changed. Maybe as in the picture we had for the main slide, maybe it was a limb that had been lost and a person is hobbling. Maybe it was an internal wound. Thank the Lord for these men and women who've raised up a charitable organization in our country to care for wounded warriors. But my friend, I want you to know tonight that not only does America and men and women of compassion, not only do they have a plan and a program for warriors who have been wounded, I want you to know that God has a plan for wounded warriors. In fact, in our first passage tonight, if we'll go back to that passage in verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 37. In our passage tonight, we find that judgment has come to the land of Judah because of their sin and forgetting God. And as a result, God was going to send the Babylonian army to wreak havoc and destruction upon his backslidden people. And God here was saying through the prophet that even those mighty Babylonian soldiers, and they were the mightiest fighting force of the ancient world, and they were about to sweep in on Jerusalem on eagle's wings, and they were about to tear the city apart because they had forsaken their protector and their God. And the prophet here is saying that however strong they are, even if they were hurt, even if they were weak, even if they were wounded, the prophet said they would still be able to defeat you. They would still be able to take out the city and to set it on fire. They would still be able to accomplish their mission. Now, I don't have time to unpack all of the theology and all of the history of that passage on why God was sending that judgment. But this is the main thing that I want you to see tonight, that the prophet is saying that even the sick, even the wounded, even the hurt, even the emaciated, even the given up on, even those seemingly who can't be useful any longer, even those would be strong enough to accomplish the mission. And what was the mission? To set the city on fire. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God wants us to set our city on fire. He wants us to set our fields on fire. He wants us to be on fire for the Lord. You may not have two limbs to walk on. You may have one eye and not the other. You may not can hear. You may have a disability or a wound, but I'm here to tell you, all that you need is not a leg and not an eye and not an ear. All you need is to get on fire for God, because God's got a plan for wounded warriors. It's not retirement time. It's not a time to fall back and lick our wounds. It's a time to step with our wounds and say, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And I may be down, but I'm not out. And I may be wounded, but I'm not defeated. I'm going to set my world. Well, glory to God. Somebody give him praise in this house tonight, and give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. You see, we can set our schools on fire. We can set our colleges, and oh, thank the Lord for our youth pastor, who is very, very young, and this is his first assignment, but he's making things happen. He's setting this campuses on fire at Barton College. Hallelujah, that we need to set this world on fire, and God can use us and bless us and work through us. Let me tell you, you may have been wounded and hurt. You may feel inadequate. You may not feel like you've got it all together. You may feel like you're broke, busted, disgusted. You may have been in debt, in disease, in divorce, or whatever those D words are that rhyme with it. I'm here to tell you, don't give up. God hasn't give up on you. He's not going to ship you off to a room and watch TV and eat popcorn. He's got a mission for you. He's got a plan for you. There's a work to be done. There's a world to be saved. There's fields to set on fire. And I want to know anybody here tonight that's ready to enlist or re-enlist for the army of the Lord. If you are, give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Now, I have a surefire way to tell you, and wounding is hurtful. Amen? Can you imagine losing a leg? Can you imagine losing an arm? Can you imagine the post-traumatic internal stress? I tell you, this is bad stuff, tough stuff. The nightmares, the pain, wounds hurt, and they're real. But I can tell you tonight how to never get a wound, how to never get hurt, how to never lose an arm or a leg, or spiritually, how to never be hurt in your heart and in your spirit. I can tell you a sure way that you will never have to worry about being wounded. And you know what that way is? Do nothing. It got mighty quiet here tonight. Do nothing. Hey, if you don't do anything, you won't be at risk of injury or hurt. Well, I would teach Sunday school, but 14 years ago, I was hurt. And I'm just going to sit on the pew and be fed. Are you really? Yes. Fed Sunday morning, fed Sunday night, fed Wednesday night, fed during revival, fed at home during your devotions, fed, fed, fed. But I tell you, we need some people that have bled, bled, bled. We need some people that have put their lives on the line, their feelings. You can't wear it on your shoulders. You've got to be thick skin. You've got to be willing. You don't want, this is not a soldier, but a football player. You got your little boy, you've paid $250 for a football uniform, and he's got the shoulder pad and got the tight pants and got the helmet, and he comes home and the thing is not dirty. Why isn't it dirty? Because I didn't what? Play in the game. What you want when that little boy comes home is you want, you don't want him to get hurt. I know I see your mama's coming back and grandma's coming back. But you do want to see some grass stains. You do want to see some grass between the cleats of the shoes. Friend, we got too many clean Christians. Yeah, they're sanctified, but they're also cranktified. And they're ill at everything, because the point of it is they're not on fire for God. When we get out there into the battle, we don't have time. We don't have the pleasure of having it our way all the time. Well, we're in the heat of the battle. We just got to go with it. Take the shots, take the hits, and say, devil, we're going to be on a mission, and we're going to set our city on fire. I'm not going to nurse the hurts. Is there recovery? Is there convalescence? Sure there is. But can you imagine these warriors coming home from Iraq and they get checked into a hospital? Walter Reed, for example, in Washington, I know it's had its problems, but they nurse that patient and they care for that patient. They give that patient therapy. But one day they expect that patient to do what? Check out. Are you hearing me? Don't you check out tonight. Not yet. But you know, sometime or another, we got to go from convalescence and healing to back to the war, back to the victory, back to the mission. There's one way to never get hurt, and that is to do nothing. But friend, I want you to know that somebody said you're either in the fight with the devil, and you're either one of two things. You're either in collision with the devil, facing him head on, or you're in collusion with the devil. Because when you're in collusion with him, you ain't got no wounds. You don't have any wounds. Sorry about that, college class folks. Amen. You don't have any wounds. That's East Carolina, not Barton College. Let me just put that on the record right here. But listen, if you're going to do anything for God, you're going to be in collision with the devil. And you're going to get hurt and you're going to get some wounds. But thank God, God can still use wounded warriors. He doesn't set you up and say, I'm forgetting you. I'm going to get somebody. Oh, listen, God has a plan for wounded warriors. Give him another hand of praise. Amen. There are several things to expect when you're out on the mission. Number one, expect trials of your faith. You see, how can you preach and minister and help if you've never been through some trials and you've never been through some tests? You can't minister to others if you haven't gone through some of the trials of life. And so the very trials that you go through that you think disqualify you actually can turn around and help you become a minister to those who are going through the similar trial. So when you're on a mission, expect trials. I didn't say expect everything to go wonderful and you get that Sunday school class and all the kids are going to file in and smile and sit on the chair and they're going to be quiet and they're going to smile and listen to you try to tell them about Jesus. Let me tell you what to expect. One's going to be this way. The other one's going to be the other way. Some's going to be climbing. Some's going to be digging. Some of them's going to cuss at you because a lot of these children aren't raised in church and all they see is TV. Well, Pastor, I had a child to say an ugly word. And what are we going to do? We're going to reach them for the Lord and forgive them. Amen. We got to have a little thick skin out there. Should we teach that child how to act in church? Absolutely. But you got to, Brother Ray, go fishing and clean that fish. Amen. It's not easy doing work for the Lord on a mission. There's going to be tests and trials. Even the sound man knows that there's feedback about every other service. And the feedback ain't always from the speaker, is it? Oh, some like it loud, some like it soft, some this, some that. It's a trial, friend, but it was a trial for Jesus. Oh, thank God that for the trials. They make us stronger when we overcome. Don't the trying of our faith makes us precious metal and gold. Oh, thank the Lord that in doing a mission, we can expect trials, but we can overcome those trials. And we can tell the people that we're going to set the world on fire because we're overcome. Comers in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? And number two, expect hindrances. This is a little bit different than trials. Trials is just natural things that happen. Hindrances is intentional stuff that if it weren't for these, the trials would be a piece of cake. Hindrances, well, there are two types of hindrances. Number one, I got down here, there are hindrances. When you're on a mission, there's going to be hindrances from people. Hello? I wish it weren't that way. Nehemiah, you're building the wall. You're on a mission. It says, now it came to pass in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall. I heard that I was on a mission. And they sent unto me saying, come, let us meet together. But they thought to do me mischief. Let's go to the next scripture. They thought to do, they were going to hinder. And I'm telling you that we've got to really, really kind of prepare ourselves that when we're doing something from the Lord, that sometimes people may not always encourage us. And sometimes we may feel a little disappointed about that. You know, I really wish so-and-so would help me. I wish really so-and-so would be a little bit more work with me and blah, 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 blah. But listen, what did Nehemiah said? Go to verse 3. He said, I sent messengers unto them saying, say those words with me. I am doing a, and I cannot come down. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. I'm doing a great work. Oh, let me encourage you tonight. We may not be a church of 1,000. And even in this congregation tonight, I'm not preaching to 500 or 5,000. I'm not on TBN tonight. But I promise you, and the Lord's, with standing before the Lord, I promise you tonight, I want to give you the very best. Because I'm doing a great work. You are great people. And all it takes is a few to set this city on fire. And a few to set our college on fire. And our schools on fire. And our nursing homes on fire. Even the older ones need ministering too. Can I get a witness out there? Oh, praise God for what He's doing. I'm not going to come down. I'm not going to let people hinder me. I'm going to be kind and polite, but I'm not. And if they encourage me, fine. If they discourage me, well, that's just part of being wounded. But I'm on a mission for the Lord, and my encouragement comes from the Lord. And by the way, here's a side note: encourage people, give people a boost, give people a pat on the back, tell them you're doing a good job. Listen, even if the pastor doesn't preach, and I'm not talking about our pastor, I'm talking about me, the preacher. Let me just rephrase that. I'm used to pastoring, lead pastoring. Even if the preacher doesn't do a good job, you know, when he goes out the door, don't walk by him. You know, just say, preacher, that was a nice try. Oh, somebody say amen tonight. Encourage people. Pat them on the back. Thank them for what they're doing. We all respond to being encouraged. Can I get a witness out there? And so expect not only hindrances from people, and that way you won't get easily offended when people do. So when somebody does discourage you, when somebody does say something that doesn't help you or maybe hurts your feelings, then you've already know that that's going to happen. And so you can respond by not getting offended, not getting easily wounded. And you can go on and say, well, oh, praise God, I'm going to do what the Lord, I'm going to continue, I'm doing a great work. Say that with me. I'm doing a great work. Say it all together. I'm doing a great work. Somebody say amen tonight. And then you're going to be, yeah, give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. I'm doing a great work. I tell you, it's a great work at Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church. It's a great work in Royal Rangers. It's a great work in girls' ministries. It's a great work in women's ministries. Praise God, next Saturday, it's going to be pow, 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 pow. It's going to be shootout at the Edwards Corral. Hallelujah, because the men are doing a great work. It's a great work, Sunday school. It's a great work, van ministry, picking up Sister Carolyn, picking up those kids. Why don't we praise God that right here in this church, we're doing a great work when we mail out cards and we make phone calls. Hallelujah. It's the small cups that bring a prophet's reward. Amen. And then you're going to be hindered from principalities, not only people, but Satan. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, we would have come to you again, but what? What? Do you believe, I just said a while ago, you're going to be in collusion with the devil, or are you going to be in collision with the devil? Amen. I'm not going to preach that point again. So when you're on a mission, expect the trials of your faith. Say amen. Expect hindrances. Amen. From people and from Satan. And then expect, when you're on a mission, times of failure. You say, Brother Ricky, that's not very encouraging. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you that when you try something for God, it may not always work. And most of the time, most definitely, it may not always work as planned. Oh, I'm going to get to that part in just a moment. Expect times of failure. Expect so that you don't get so hurt and willing to quit, because even in our most sincere efforts, we're going to miss it at times. We are human. We're fighting an enemy. We have external foes. We have internal foes of our own spirit. And there are going to be just times we're going to fail. There are going to be times. Listen, as a worship leader, there's going to be times I hit a wrong note. Oh, yes, you heard about three tonight already. As a singer, there's going to be times when I get off key. As a preacher, there's going to be times when I'm going to preach and five people get saved. And then there's times I'm going to preach when five people get up and storm out the back. Come on now. Are you with me? I mean, it's just going to happen. But you're not a failure if you fail. You are only a failure when you fail to do what God has called you to do. Amen. We answer to the Lord Jesus Christ and we leave the results to Him. You see, there was a man named Mark in Acts chapter 15 and verse 17. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Verse 38. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them. Why, Paul? Because Mark departed from them and went not with them to the work. And verse 39 says, the contention was sharp between them. That they no wonder General Conference gets heated sometimes. I mean, if they got in contention, let alone two brethren, you know, of us today. But there was some contention because Barnabas said, hey, Paul, we're going to take Mark. And Paul said, hey, Barnabas, I'm not taking him this time. Well, why not? Because the last time we took him, he left. He left us high and dry. He failed. And Barnabas, now I'm going to tell you, this had to be the clash of the titans. You're talking about Paul and Barnabas. We're talking about two mighty men of God, two Holy Ghost filled men of God, two wise men of God, two men of God who themselves have gone through the trials and failures of life. And here is Paul saying, I'm not taking him because he's a failure. Basically is what Paul said. And you know what Barnabas said? Fine. Paul, God bless you. You go your way, but me and Mark, we're going to go find somewhere and do something for God, because Barnabas believed that God still had a plan for wounded warriors, even those that have failed. Can I get a witness out here tonight? Have you failed in your life? Have you failed in your finances? Then God has a plan for wounded warriors. Have you failed in your morals? Maybe you have done things wrong, illicit, illegal. But can I tell you, God has a plan for wounded warriors. Have you failed in your mission? Have you failed in different things and avenues? My friend, I could preach a message on the glory of failure. Sometimes it's those failures that don't break us. God can turn it around and make us. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. And Paul had a change of heart. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Just let me know when you got it, brother. It says here, only Luke is... This is Paul now. Paul's talking now. He says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him. For he changed his tune, didn't he? For he is profitable to me for ministry. Oh, friend, God can use failures. Even if you quit, give up, well, let's start again. Maybe this time you'll find your way. Don't give up. Sometimes we get so discouraged at our own failure, at our own selves. Well, I'm just not capable. I'm not educated. I'm not this. No, God will use failures. Can I get a witness out there? And then Paul later on said, Mark is useful. Mark, God's got a plan for you as a wounded soldier. You can be used of God. And by the way, have you ever heard of the four gospels? Have you ever heard of the four gospels? Pastor Nate, you're a youth pastor. You should know the four gospels. I want you to come and give me the names of the four. You do it? I'm putting him on the spot. And I don't want you to do it in order. Come on up here, Pastor Nate. Don't you love our youth pastor? Isn't he doing a phenomenal job? Now we're not going to go in order. So the first gospel is
in like
the New Testament. Yes.
In order.
First, what's the very first one?
Matthew.
All right. What's the third one?
Luke.
And then what's the final one?
Acts.
Oh, John.
Sorry.
Right. That's all right. That's all right. So we got
Matthew.
And then.
Luke.
And then the last.
Okay, John.
All right. Are we missing anybody?
Missing Mark.
We're missing who?
Mark. Mark.
Well, this is the same Mark that gave up on the work, and the same Mark that Paul gave up on, and then the same Mark that Paul said, you know what, I think we can use him. And guess what? He's the same Mark that wrote, now let's do them in order. Matthew,
Mark,
Luke, and John. Give the Lord a hand of praise and give Pastor. Hallelujah! He wrote the second gospel. The Gospel of Mark. God has a plan for wounded soldiers. Can you say amen? Expect times of failure. Expect when you're on a mission. Number four, that God will place you in small places first. Amen. God put David in the sheepfold first. Say amen. The acorn is small first. Say amen. Christ was placed, or Christ, the Redeemer of the world, came as a small thing, right? And placed in a manger first. Amen. You see, the seed is covered. And the seed is not a, usually not a big thing. It's a little seed is a little bitty thing. And this is a whole other sermon here. And you take that seed that's full of life and energy and promise and throw it to the dirt. And then kick it down. No hope for that seed. Oh, but the rain's going to come and the water is going to get down below the dirt and the mess and the failure. And the seed is going to have something explode. And that little bitty seed is going to break out that ground and become a mighty fortress for our God. Oh, expect small places first. Let me tell you, old Joseph. Joseph was having dreams of his brothers bowing before him. Joseph had a calling to rule the nations of the world, and Joseph was an anointed young man of God, and yet this same Joseph found himself in a jail cell with two people. One of them was a butler, and the other one was a baker. Amen? Two people. And they had a dream, and Joseph, through the Lord, could interpret dreams. And for two people, Joseph ministered to them and said, here's the interpretation of your dreams. Jesus just met one woman at the well of Samaria. Listen, don't underestimate one student in your class. That one grandkid that comes over and likes to eat cookies. Amen. Don't underestimate small days, small jobs, or small things, because it's through these that we can take our city and set them on fire. I was in the grocery store the other day, and I got Time Magazine had devoted an entire magazine on Billy Graham. Maybe you saw it at the grocery store, and I actually found a hardback of that. It's a Time Magazine about that thin, and it's the hardback version of the magazine, commemorative edition. And yes, I got it. It's for my library. I'll never part from that. And I remember looking through that just a few days ago, and it had a timeline of Billy Graham's life. And let me tell you something. He didn't start in New York City with 500,000 people. He started in small places. In fact, it had a picture of this man who I had never seen his face before. But this man's name was Mordecai Ham. Now, how would you like for your mama to have named you Mordecai Ham in your last name? I mean, can you imagine going home for Thanksgiving? Mordecai Ham is coming over. What? I mean, this has had to be a tough man. I mean, that's a tough name. And these were a long time ago. But in that lifespan of Billy Graham, there was the picture of Mordecai Ham. You've never probably heard of Mordecai Ham, but he was the man that Time Magazine said preached and the night that Billy Graham got saved. Oh, my friend, don't you think Mordecai Ham, who you've never heard of, whom you've never can't recognize if you see his picture, for to save your life. But do you believe that man set this world on fire through his faithfulness and through his mission? Oh, somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. God will bless you and use you in the small places, and then he'll give you bigger. Can you say amen? And then finally tonight, I'm coming to a close. Expect God to change your plans. Say this with me. Nothing always goes as planned. Ooh, are you ready for this? Look at Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. It says this. Now when they had gone through Phrygia, and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. You see, I did some study on this. Did you know at this moment, Paul had already been on one missionary journey? And maybe even his second one. But at this point, he was going to go back to some of the places he had already been. But the Bible is very important, very emphatic. They were forbidden. It was God said no. Now, can I ask you a question? Is anything wrong with preaching? Shouldn't we preach everywhere? How could it be that the Holy Ghost would forbid me to preach? Aren't we supposed to preach? We are to preach, but we're to preach and to minister and to serve where God wants us. Amen, somebody. And his plans were to go to Asia. And I'll tell you, none of us think we've got it all planned out, but expect God to change those plans. And guess what? The next night, Paul gets a dream from a man saying in Macedonia, come over and help us. Macedonia had never been preached to. He was going to have to start over. Let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with starting over. There's nothing wrong with a new beginning. This man's in his middle age of life, and yet he's going to brand new places he's never been. And thank the Lord he went to Macedonia, because it's in Macedonia where he reaches the churches of Philippi and the church at Rome, the book of Romans and Colossae and all of those places, Greece and all of those places. What are you trying to say? It's through Macedonia that you and I eventually became saved. Had he gone back the other way, we might not have known the Lord. But that one moment when God changed his plans, it set the world on fire. That's still burning today. God will change it, but make sure it's God and not you. And I'll tell you, he'll lead you, he'll guide you, and he'll direct you. And Paul touched cities and nations and continents. He was going to touch a few cities when he went to Asia, but through his obedience, he touched nations and the world, because God has a plan for soldiers, and he has a place for soldiers. And let's let God lead us where he wants us to go. Amen. Expect those six things, but also expect fruit that remains. Expect signs and wonders and miracles. I don't want it to be all downer tonight. Expect when you're a wounded soldier that there'll be joy and a job well done. If I can just lead one person to Jesus, I'll be shouting forever on the streets of glory. Expect God to say that you are blessed and highly favored of God. Thank the Lord that he will reward those who are wounded in the service. You'll get a medal. You'll get a crown of life which fadeth not away. You will be blessed and immortal forever and forever. You'll be rewarded upon heaps forever, throwing it all back to Jesus and a redounding to the glory of God for soldiering on and working for the Lord. And don't cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For he that has promised will perform, and it's God who will do it. Can you say amen? Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20. And I'm done. I promise you I'm done. I've only got 15 more minutes to go. No, I'm just kidding. Matthew chapter 12, verse 20. A bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench. Till he brings forth judgment to victory. Somebody say victory. He said a bruised reed. If you do the study on that, a reed is a piece of wood. I use a reed to play the saxophone with. Jose knows what I'm talking about. And sometimes those reeds get weak and thin pieces of wood. And if it's bruised, it's very vulnerable. And the Bible says that if you're bruised, he's not going to break you. Not in the tearing you apart sense. He might break you like a doctor does to set the bone and set it back right. Can I get an amen out of that? And he didn't say a fiery flax. He said a smoking flax. Can you see just a little bitty smoke going up from a flax? Something that used to be on fire. Do you know anything that's smoking means it was used to be on fire? And we got a lot of Christians and a lot of preachers and a lot of deacons and a lot of young people that used to be on fire for God. But listen, that's okay. If you used to be on fire and the little smoke, you may not be a flame. Just that little smoke's going up. Let me tell you what. God's got a plan for wounded soldiers. And he wants to relight the flame. Can you say amen? And some of you tonight, in fact, I think all of you in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come down. And let God relight the flame of the flax in your life, that you'll set this world on fire. Listen, it's through my weakness, Sister Darnell sang tonight, that I'm made strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. For this reason, I am happy. This is the New Century Version, and so it'll be a little different than King James. For this reason, I am happy when I have weaknesses, insults, hard times, sufferings, and all kinds of troubles for Christ. Because when I'm weak, then, say that with me, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Stand with me tonight and say that. Say it out loud. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, then turn it up. When I'm weak, then I'm tell the devil, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Shout it to the top of your lungs. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Give him a praise for it tonight. Hallelujah. Brother David and media team, if you'll just play some instrumental softly, very, very softly. And then as we get into the altar call, if you'll bring it up a little bit louder. But I close tonight. Our pastor was a great warrior, and he is a great warrior. Can I get an amen? And Douglas MacArthur was a great warrior. Old soldiers never die. They just fade away. Dwight D. Eisenhower, Norman Schwarzkopf. I think about my great-grandmother, Geneva Joyner. She was a warrior for the Lord. I remember her praying for me many times when I was sick. And I look across this congregation and I see warriors here tonight. And some of you I see wounded warriors because of the past, because of things. But let me close tonight as they prepare to play some instrumental music very softly. Let me give you tonight the greatest warrior of all. Who is that greatest warrior? Does anybody want to guess? Go to Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6. It says, and one shall say unto him, and they may not be able to bring that up, but Zechariah 13 and 6. What are the wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, these are they which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And do you know who this is talking about? It's talking about Jesus. Let me tell you, the greatest wounded warrior of all has set this entire world on fire. Wounded in the house of his friends when he was crucified and he died and was buried, but he rose again. And I'll take you back to my very first scripture tonight. And I want you to come to the altar and let's close in prayer tonight. Because I believe this message applies to everyone. Everybody needs this message tonight. If you're starting out, if you're on the mid-journey, if you're even thinking about throwing in the towel, it says that they will rise up, every man, and burn this city with fire. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. He rose up, and because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I know he's got a plan for my life. Would you step out of your seat and let's close in prayer tonight. And let's ask God to burn that flame, that fat flax again. Let it be burning brightly for the Lord. Oh God, lay upon us souls. Help us to be renewed in our passion to serve you in ministry. And Lord, whether it's a small Sunday school class, whether it's a card to a first-time visitor. Oh God, you've got a plan. You've got a plan for wounded warriors. Oh God, we thank you that we come gracefully broken. Come on, lift your hands up tonight. Let the fire burn in your heart tonight. I'm going all the way with Jesus tonight. I'm not going to be wounded. I may be leaping or limping, but I'm going to be leaping. I may be bleeding, but I'm going to be bandaged. Oh, I may be in the valley, but I'm on my way to my next mountain. Oh, God, you're going to use the trials. You're going to use the small places. Set us on fire tonight. On fire tonight. On fire tonight. Somebody just needs to get on fire tonight. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire of the Spirit of God. Fire and passion in the name of Jesus. Brother Tom has been through some wounds lately, physically, but he's on fire tonight. Fire tonight. Set these young people on fire. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. On fire tonight. fire, fire, fire in this place tonight. Fire in this place tonight. We take, come on, leave those wounds at the altar tonight. Don't carry around those hurts. God has a plan. God has a place. God is leading them on fire, on fire. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, fire. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you. Fire. Fire in this house tonight. Fire in this house tonight. Fire in this house. I'm on fire of the Lord. I'm on fire. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Give him praise in this house tonight. Fire on this house. Fire, God.